Investors. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, and welcome to the program. David Master sitting in tonight, engineering my show, answering my phone calls, doing my superb best, as I do, with just about everything. And if you're a witness to history, which you are, today was a historic day where one of the biggest liars of all time was given a pass. Don't need to mention any names, because everybody that's involved in the world they live in knows what I'm talking about. And liars have been elevated now to the levels of kings and queens. And, you know, if you think about it, I mean, if you really wanted to be a hero in your neighborhood, you know, wouldn't it be great if you could just go out with your bullhorn and start telling people,
I'm going to give you everything you ever wanted. You don't even have to work for it. All you have to do is put me in power, and you'll have everything right at your fingertips. Everything. Food, housing, clothes, you name it. Whatever you need, I'll give it to you.
Wow. Can you imagine how much everybody in your neighborhood would, like, think of what a great person you are? Or if you do that, you know, go home to your kids, your wife, your husband, whatever. Tell them, I'm going to give you anything you want. Anything. All you have to do is just think of me in a good light. When I need something, you do that little, whatever I need you to do, you do it for me. I'll do your favors, you do favors for me. Sounds kind of like the mafia.
I'll do you a favor, and then you'll do one for me.
Yeah, you can't refuse once you accept the favor from that other person. You just, now you're trapped. And my dad always told me, I'll tell you a little story. I got traumatized when I was, I guess I was in third grade. Never should have been there in the first place, but so be it. I'm sitting there at my desk, and the guy behind me suddenly becomes violently ill and throws up, and the throw up goes all over my back, all over my hair, and splats on my desk in front of me. And what it was is it was a mixture of scrambled eggs and peaches, you know, clean peaches, the syrupy kind. And the stink was just unbelievable. And so I asked the teacher, I said, I need to go home. Teacher says, you can't go home. You're not going to go home. I said, you're kidding me. I mean, look at me. I'm dripping with vomit. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to let you go home. It was weird. I mean, but again, it didn't kill me. But my point is, they actually evacuated the entire classroom. And I took my coat and threw it in the trash can. And in the water fountain, I washed my hair out. And throughout the rest of my life, I had an aversion to peaches. Nothing wrong with peach. But one day my dad says to me, I'm probably about, I don't know, I'm going to say I'm 14, 15 years old. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you $5 if you'll eat this piece of peach. I said, $5? You know, in those days, it was like 50. I said, oh, you're going to give me $5 just to eat that piece of peach? Yep. So I just choked this peach, this big slice of peach down. I felt like I was going to, you know, throw it up the whole time. And so I went to my dad with my eyes all squinty and teary and my face all in a, you know, in a frowl. And I said, okay, I ate it. Give me my $5. And my dad looks at me with a smile and a twinkle in his eye, not a tinkle, twinkle. And he says, never make deals with the devil. And I said, what do you mean? He said, don't make deals with the devil. You don't like peaches? Don't eat peaches. You ate it because I made a deal with you. Don't ever do that. It never works out well. And he never gave me the money. But I did learn a good lesson from it. See, so those people that are out there giving away free stuff, it's not really free. Someone has to pay for it. And now in America, one out of every five families, there's no one in the workforce. One out of every five people is out of the workforce. That's a lot of people getting something from somebody. You think about it. And if you're one of those people, I'm not shaming you. I really am not. I know terrible things happen. People make decisions and they fall in on us. I get it.
You're listening to...
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
All right, and welcome back to the program. It is Advice Line, and I'm David Masters, probably having a multitude of technical issues going on here, but that's okay. 1-800-866-8883, that's the number, and welcome to the program. If you want to talk about the news events of the day, I warn you, do not hate the people. Do not hate them, because when bad people get away with things, it tempts people. It tempts you, people like me. We don't like injustice. And if you hate people who are unjust, you become unjust. Being angry with people who are wrong doesn't make you right. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, I've heard it said that anger is an unreasonable reaction to an unreasonable condition. So if you think about it, being angry doesn't actually help change any situation for the better. People become afraid of you when you're angry, and you can control people with anger, but is that actually how you want to live your life? Do you want to control people through anger? I would say not a good idea. But on the other side of the equation, well, how do you get people to be reasonable? That's a huge question. And what I would say to you is that you have to be like a rock. And what that means is you have to be immovable. You have to be able to look in the face of a person. Usually it's a family member. Could be anybody. But you have to be able to look in the face of a person who's tempting you and not flinch. And when they see that, they may try even harder to displace you from your center. And they may become more aggressive. This happens. And a lot of times when you react, you snap, you do something stupid, you end up in jail, and then you have a record that follows you and haunts you all the way through your life. But if you only knew how to be objective and how to see that there's an antagonist, somebody that is trying to get your goat, somebody that's trying to get you to react to justify themselves, their behavior. If you could only realize that in those moments, you would be the master of that moment. You would be the eye of the hurricane. The hurricane would revolve around you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It could be the difference between life and death. I have another story that I'll share with you. I knew a girl who lived alone in her apartment. And a good-looking, you know, attractive girl. One night, this big, gnarly man breaks into her house, and he threatens to rape her. And instead of being upset and, you know, setting off all the alarms in the rapist, she starts to dialogue with this man. She says, "Are you sure this is what you want to do?" She starts to talk to him. And, you know, he tries to be more intimidating and gets angry. And she just says, "Calm down, calm down. I'm not going anywhere. Nothing's going to happen. I just want to talk to you." And after a couple hours of that, the guy walked out the front door and left her alone. And that's a true story. How many times does that happen? I don't know. I don't know how many times it happens, because most people are conditioned. And you know, even if you watch the popular media, my kids like to watch America's Got Talent. And when the crowd likes one of the acts, everybody goes crazy, screaming crazy. I think, this is nuts. It's not just applause. It's just like, it's like insane revelry. And then you go, and I was watching all of these different political rallies that were going on. The same thing happened. Although one was more, how can I say this, more officious, more dignified. One set of people was cheering for a different reason, and the energy of their cheer sounded different than the people who were cheering for the bad guys. And their cheer sounded very, very eerie. Did anybody ever notice that? 1-800-866-8883. Yeah, and you see, my point is that we are conditioned to meet every moment with a form of emotion. And not reason, not in objectivity, not with balance, but, you know, and at the same time, I've seen that with all of the terrible murders and the terrorism that's been going on, there's a sort of flatness to the reactions of everybody. Like, people are becoming desensitized. So on one level, we're being hypersensitized to be reactive when we see something that we like. Okay, we're hyperreactive. And when we see something that we don't like, we're desensitized, and so we're very muted. And we don't even know how to express our thoughts or feelings. We're just sort of, we want to get back to that place where we're hyper excited, because it feels so much better than being afraid of having going to a mall and having somebody shoot you up and leave you dead lying there. And I mean, I've seen some of the people on some of these news shows who are actually in a situation where a man is killing people, and they were in this environment, and they seem like, as if it was just like a ride at Disneyland. They talk about it in a very sort of detached way. It's very strange. Because in the world of emotions, but see, the bad emotions, those are the ones that give us problems. The good emotions, everybody likes good emotions. Everybody likes to feel good. Everybody likes a good party or a birthday party or a, I don't know, some kind of a happy event. But nobody wants to deal with this, the flip side of that. The unhappy side of life. So, if you think about it, you have to learn, you have to relearn how to live your life. Oops, I got a caller coming in. Let me see here. I got to do all this by myself. Hold on. All right, let me find out who was on this call here. Let's go to the caller. Hey, this is David. You're on the air.
Hello? Hi, David.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, this is Michael. I called you a couple of months ago, and you're your dad from Loma Linda, California. I'm a VA vet. And,
I remember you, Michael.
Vet.
Yeah.
Yeah, David, you and your dad are so gracious and helpful, and I'm so appreciative of it. I tried to call last week. Were you guys, was your dad on vacation or off the air or something?
We did some best of shows, yeah, last week. So
okay.
He was not on a couple nights.
Well, I'm thankful to talk to you. What I was calling to tell you folks was I feel like I've made a lot of progress off the 7-minute meditation. My my triggers seem to be way down, and my anxiety seems to be subsiding, you know, not a lot, but it's getting better. And I kind of needed to get an objective opinion on this, so I went down to my scheduled appointment at the San Bernardino Vet Center and met with my counselor, who I've been with for quite a while. And she said, oh, Michael, because I had told her about your dad, and I had even recommended that she look into it. And she said, you seem to be, you know, doing better. You seem to be more relaxed. You're not quite so tense, because that's always been a problem of mine.
Sure.
And so she noted it, and that's as far as it went. So I actually quit a couple of classes over at the VA because I've gotten more out of what you and your dad have empowered me with and what I've gotten, you know, at the VA. And I'm thankful for the VA, don't get me wrong. But
of course.
Just all this conventional, I guess, I don't know, David, you probably know the term better than I, but all this conventional psychological, psychiatric therapy.
Yeah.
It just, after listening to your dad a couple years ago, I swear, it all just, I know it helps certain guys, but it all just almost seems like gobbledygook to me now, because it's very repetitive, and I don't know if it's helping a lot of the guys out, but it's you and your father and FHU have helped me out tremendously. That's, I wanted to preface the conversation by that.
Well, that's
number
that's
one.
Good to hear.
I have two points I would like to bring up, please.
Okay, so what is your challenge right now? Let's go to that.
My challenge right now, David, is that hold on, let me get my wits about me here now, because I get nervous when I call you guys.
It's cool, man. It's cool.
No, I know. You guys couldn't make a person feel more relaxed, so it's not on you, it's on me. I understand. I'm grasping the be still and know. I'm seeing the pixels, and I'm really feeling a relaxation mode. And David, when I see the pixels and I actually feel myself relaxing, and I'm taking, you know, breathing through my nose, breathing out through my mouth, I find that the thing that, after I do the meditation, that helps me get my best sleep, and I've been having the best sleep I've had in so many years. It's incredible. But I get an idea of, or a thought process of gratitude. And it seems to help my mind kind of unwind, instead of focusing on, you know, all the other stuff, yesterday and tomorrow and stuff. But I just find myself just being thankful for a whole lot of things, one of them you folks.
Well,
but that seems to help me, seems to help my mind shut down a wee bit after I do the meditation.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense, David?
Well, it does. And of course, there are reasons. And let's just look at the opposite of gratitude, which is, you know, frustration, impatience, fear, worry. But I'm like you in the sense is that no matter what's happening to me in my life, I've learned that I have to be grateful for the good things. See, and if you take your mind off of the good things and you focus only on the bad things, the negative things, that will become a quicksand that you sink into. And it becomes a self-sabotaging merry-go-round where you struggle and then you try to get out of it. And what I say to people, and I say this to, you know, all the people that in my life, I say, if you don't go there in the first place, you won't have to climb out of it in the second place. So you have to become aware of these different energies that are trying to pull at you, the energy. And I'm telling you that these problems that people have, they either have a form of energy or they take our energy, and we can feel it. So to give you an example, one day I was sitting in a room working on something. I was editing something, and I felt something kind of around me, and I realized that it wanted me to feel frustrated about something. And I consciously knew that it was there, and I just said, no, go away.
You could actually sense that intuitively? That's incredible.
Yes, absolutely. Hold on a minute. I got to take a quick break here. Stay with me. I'm going to be right back. 1-800-866-8883 is the number. And I'm like the Wizard of Oz here. I'm pushing all the buttons. Yeah, it's quite a job. My dad's taking a night off, and he'll be back as soon as possible. Hi, this is David Masters, and I want to talk to you about supporting the work of my dad, Roy Masters. I think of the word gratitude, and I wonder how many of you have that sense or that feeling. The word actually means the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, and to return kindness. When you support the Foundation of Human Understanding, you're showing your gratitude. You're showing that you've been helped, and you're showing that that has value. Not only that, but you're thinking about future generations that will need to hear this message many years into the future. Remember, your donations are tax deductible, and they go to supporting this work on the radio, in the prison ministry, and for the military. To donate online, go to www.fhu.com/donate. That's fhu.com/donate. Or through the mail to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Gratitude. It will make all the difference in your life.
Discover an easy and simple drug-free antidote to overcome alcoholism, drugs, smoking, and other various addictions with a simple app. Discover Cure Stress. With the Cure Stress app, you can begin to walk away from addiction in just 7 minutes. And this 7-minute technique is free on the Cure Stress app. Break the endless loop of negative thoughts. Improve how you interact with people at work or at home with the Cure Stress app. You can finally heal from past traumatic events or resolve relationship difficulties. It can even help you cope with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And it only takes 7 minutes free with the Cure Stress app. Change your life without effort and in the comfort and privacy of your home in just 7 minutes with the Cure Stress app.
All right, and I'm back on with you. And I have Michael with me. Michael, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Funny that there was an ad talking about gratitude, because so to me,
answer me this. Yeah, it seemed very ironic to me when I heard it.
Yeah, answer this for me. What, when you say gratitude, what do you mean when you have this sense of gratitude?
Well, that's a great question, David. Actually, I guess it's a lot of things. I'm 63, so I guess this may sound a bit dramatic, but what I've heard from you and your dad, having grown up as a Roman Catholic, and I think you probably won't recall this, but I grew up with a very strong father that provided for the family. My mom stayed at home. She was a housewife. But my dad, I never knew my dad to tell a lie. I never, was my dad real religious in a conventional context? No. But he sure walked the walk. And so when I think back now at how chaotic things are now for kids, and even my kids from over the last several generations, I that's one of the first things after kind of hearing you guys, those are the first couple of things that I can close my eyes and say none of my problems are attributed to the best of my knowledge.
That's very interesting.
And I've tried to turn it upside down with your dad's philosophy on not having a strong father and getting hung up on your mom and I just don't see it in my situation. So I don't have that scenario to give a basis for my situation.
So let me ask you this then: do you mind if I probe your mind a little bit?
No, go
in
please.
Sensitive areas.
I'm sorry?
I I want to get your permission to sort of probe around in sensitive areas, because you're recovering from post-traumatic stress, right?
Yeah, I'm from Vietnam. Yeah, I'm trying to. It's kind of hard. But.
So the question that comes to my mind then is, when did your post-traumatic stress start? You know, what do you remember the onset of it? That's the question I'm asking.
No, I don't. And I tell you what, I mean, I do, not with that term. Not with that term.
Okay.
Because that term was not around in the late 60s and early 70s.
Right.
It was I was a young I don't want to get too bogged down in this, but I was kind of a young hippie. I was having a good time. I had long hair. I was 18 years old. I was smoking weed and partying with my friends and going to high school. You know, it was just kind of the cool thing to do back then. My, how things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got drafted, and I went in, and I got drafted, and I thought, man, I really don't want to go over there. Because I hadn't been a vehement anti-war demonstrator or really involved in any organizations, but I would watch Walter Cronkite and all these things on TV and Chet Huntley and David Brinkley, and I'd think, you know, this thing doesn't seem to make sense. I'm going over there to kill some people that really aren't threatening my country, and I don't really know if that's the right thing to do. But my dad was a decorated World War II veteran, and if I hadn't went, my dad would have disowned me.
Yeah.
And my mom, consequently, probably would have disowned me.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to,
So when you got there,
deal with that.
Did you see action? Did you go out into the battlefield?
Yeah, I saw a lot of action. I saw too much action, David.
How many years were you in?
I was in for 6 years.
Wow.
I was supposed to be nuclear Navy. I actually took some tests, and I was lucky enough to pass the test and do well, and I was going to be on a submarine or I was going to be on an aircraft carrier, because I really didn't want to go over there and get my ass shot off, pardon the expression, because my heart wasn't in it.
Yeah.
And but I couldn't run. I could not run. So I couldn't, you know, just ditch my family like that. So anyway,
but
off I went.
Okay,
so
but let's stop here.
Class or two.
Hold on.
One
second.
Power school.
Michael.
Yes, sir.
Stop right there.
I'm sorry.
Stop. Let's re-examine this for a second.
Okay.
You didn't want to disappoint your family.
Yes, sir.
But you could have done that.
I could have.
Yeah. And so here's the problem, as I see it, and tell me if I'm wrong, but you needed the approval of both your mom and dad so much that you were willing to go over and kill people in order to retain that.
Yes.
And so what happened in that moment is you lost yourself. You gave up what it meant to be you, even though you were sort of an aimless drifter in the sense that you told me you were just like everybody else. I'm not saying that conscientious objectors were, you know, any better or that they were cowards. It's just that some people decided that they didn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, I wasn't drafted, thank God. I'm almost your age.
Yeah.
But, okay, I got to take a quick break here, but this is a very interesting conversation. Stay with me. 1-800-866-8883. You see, the things that we do for love, the strange things that we do that take us down a road that we never otherwise would have gone down. And of course, it isn't necessarily love. It's just approval. And you know what? Being rejected, sometimes not so bad, if you think about it. If you have to do such severe things to be accepted. 1-800-866-8883. I'll be right back. Hi, this is David Masters, and I want to talk to you about supporting the work of my dad, Roy Masters. I think of the word gratitude, and I wonder how many of you have that sense or that feeling. The word actually means the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, and
to return kindness. When you support the Foundation of Human Understanding, you're showing your gratitude. You're showing that you've been helped, and you're showing that that has value. Not only that, but you're thinking about future generations that will need to hear this message many years into the future. Remember, your donations are tax deductible, and they go to supporting this work on the radio, in the prison ministry, and for the military. To donate online, go to www.fhu.com/donate. That's fhu.com/donate. Or through the mail to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Gratitude. It will make all the difference in your life.
Discover an easy and simple drug-free antidote to overcome alcoholism, drugs, smoking, and other various addictions with a simple app. Discover Cure Stress. With the Cure Stress app, you can begin to walk away from addiction in just 7 minutes. And this 7-minute technique is free on the Cure Stress app. Break the endless loop of negative thoughts. Improve how you interact with people at work or at home with the Cure Stress app. You can finally heal from past traumatic events or resolve relationship difficulties. It can even help you cope with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And it only takes 7 minutes, free, with the Cure Stress app. Change your life without effort and in the comfort and privacy of your home in just 7 minutes with the Cure Stress app. Free and available now on Apple App Store and Android Google Play. Finally, cure stress with the Cure Stress app.
It's time to face the facts. If you don't conquer stress, stress will conquer you. Dr. George Hader, psychiatrist and diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
It's the only approach that I've ever seen in the whole field of psychology which allows you to become independent, which doesn't just set you up to take the next course in whatever type of psychology that you may be studying. It truly teaches you how to understand yourself and make decisions on your own and gradually grow as a person, become more confident and more effective.
Be still and know. Visit FHU.com and download the concentration exercise entitled Be Still and Know. Be Still and Know is rooted in ancient biblical principles that help you fight those unseen forces that up until now you have not understood. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227. Be Still and Know and begin a new life free of fear, worry, and struggle.
Untold thousands have acquired helpful insight into their lives through help from the Foundation of Human Understanding. Your donations and continued patronage allow us to continue our work to improve the human condition. Through our radio extension of Advice Line with Roy Masters and our website at FHU.com, we will continue to offer answers to the tough questions that life presents. Great inner peace can be discovered through the practice of meditation. Roy Masters offers his meditation exercise titled Be Still and Know on the Foundation's website, FHU.com. Now you can release the binds that tie you, learn to break those unhealthy addictions, overcome anger, rage, and insecurity. It all begins with a proper mindset. The Foundation website offers you the gateway to a more meaningful existence. Inner peace can be discovered through the practice of meditation, titled Be Still and Know at FHU.com. You can also call the Foundation Monday through Friday at 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, and welcome back to Advice Line. David Masters sitting in tonight. My dad's taking a night off. And 1-800-866-8883 is the number. I have Michael on the line, and Michael's a Vietnam vet. And I'm getting to something really interesting with you, Michael. And, you know, this is one of those conversations that if you would have had it 20 years ago, maybe your life would have gone a completely different direction. Or maybe 30 or 40 years ago. I don't know, Vietnam a long time ago. But you said you couldn't disappoint your family. Right?
Yes. So, David.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, please.
Yes.
Knowing what I know now, or intuitively feeling what I know now strictly from listening to your dad. And that's, you know, that's the truth. He's turned my head around completely.
Yeah.
It's almost shocking to me, but and I've tried to convey it to my old Catholic family, but they ain't getting it. So, back then, I didn't know the difference between acceptance and love. I had no clue what that was, David.
I know that's true. But what I want to say to you is, when you said I couldn't, the actual truth was the opposite. You could have, but then, you know, your dad was an overbearing person. He was a very strong person, right?
Yeah, you're right.
And
your
mom totally supported him. Maybe she thought he was a righteous man, or maybe she was afraid not to support him. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you felt that you didn't really have any choice, and this is a terrible...
So do you feel like I was a coward, David, for not...
But you know what?
Tell me the truth. I know you will.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Tell me the truth. Was I a coward for...
For not
for
saying
doing
no?
What I did, or...
No. You were programmed. You were already programmed to do whatever it is you felt compelled to do. You were programmed by the need for approval of your mom and your dad, which, by the way, is sort of a natural thing. But you see, it was so, so powerful in you, and it is powerful in many people, the need for approval, the need for so-called love, that you will go down these paths that you never otherwise would have done. You would have said, no, I want nothing to do with it. You could have said, if you don't love me and you never want to see me again, okay. But see, you hadn't yet found what it meant to be you. And this is a big problem. This is why, by the way, that the left and the change agents want to get to the children earlier and earlier, because they want to give them the idea that they can be whoever or whatever they feel like being. See, back in the day when you and I were growing up, it wasn't quite the same. I mean, we were expected to step up and do whatever we... go ahead.
Hey, David, I'm sorry. But you know what? These guys are really good at this. And again, I somewhat sensed this over the years as I got older. But after listening to your dad for the last three years, I started realizing that, gosh, I was really missing the boat and buying into this slow, pernicious deterioration of values that seem important to me. I don't know.
Well, let's go back and talk about your dad for a minute. Did you have a strong bond with your dad, or was he just a strong kind of silent type?
Wow. You're unbelievable. My memories of my father are not a lot of, like, close hugs and closeness. No abuse or anything like that. But you know, you wow, that's eye opening to me what you just said. That's eye opening to me, Dave. It really is, to the point where you're really kind of freaking me out. I hadn't thought of it in that way. Or maybe I had, but I just pushed it down. But my dad worked a lot because my mom was at home. My dad was a firefighter, and he had a couple part-time jobs, and he wasn't home that much.
Yeah.
But he would come to my baseball games and stuff like that when he could. But no, it wasn't a lot of, you're right, a lot of judgment and some cursory smiles maybe. So, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But see, what I'm getting at, and I think you already kind of sense where I'm going with this, is that fear and anger are two horns on the same goat.
Yeah.
Okay, so the fear of being rejected by your dad, below that, there was probably some anger, like, why is he making me do this? Doesn't he love me? Doesn't he know I could die out there? See, that might have been some very, very deeply buried back of mind thinking. And of course,
but there was no way back in those days that I could have, well, and you know that I could have ever thought of that. I could.
Yeah, but the point is, we're thinking about it now, and there's a reason why I'm bringing it up. Because I believe that the key to you becoming completely better, completely healed, is for you to forgive your dad. And you have to forgive him for something that was your flaw. And that flaw was that you wanted your dad's love, you wanted his approval, and you couldn't say no. But the roundabout side effect of that is you blame the person that you're doing things for, instead of seeing that it's your own weakness that made you do that.
Yeah.
See, and if you forgive your dad because he didn't know how to be any other kind of dad, he was just the best dad he could be, forgive your dad and your mom, and that sets you free. Because when you forgive somebody, the person you set free is yourself.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever...
And I still find myself doting on my 90-year-old mom.
Oh, yeah. But I want to say one other thing.
My dad died at 63. In the last umpteen years, I've doted on her quite a bit.
But with your dad, have you ever caught yourself having moments of resentment, just even glimpses of it, toward him?
Yeah, there have been. Yeah, there. No, you're right. Yeah, I have to admit it. It's kind of tough, and you brought. It's kind of tough. The more I think about it, the more I think of specific incidents, which really isn't that easy for me. David, can I ask you one other question? I mean, that's very elucidating. Thank you.
Yeah.
It really is. Can I ask you one other question?
Sure.
With the regimen of be still and know, of the 7-minute meditation.
Yeah.
How? My question is, and this was the essence of my conversation initially, and I'm glad you spent so much time with me, but I'm missing the point somewhere on be still and know. I get the tranquility. I get the trying to, at least I think I do, to a degree, of feeling better about myself, of getting rid of a lot of anxiety and negative emotions and passing things on. But how do you be still and know in a world that I find so repulsive that I would like to be involved with in changing, because be still and know almost seems passive to me.
Okay.
So where am I
missing
this?
Okay, it's a great question, by the way. It's a fantastic question. And here's my simple equation for you. It's sort of like a metaphysical equation. You are either the effect of a cause or you are the cause of an effect. So, for example, and I don't know if you heard me talking earlier, but I said, we see these people in the news getting away literally with murder and doing things that none of us could get away with. And that tempts us to resent them, to hate them.
Yeah.
And when we do that, they've got us. Because they don't have us on their side, but they've got us on a different kind of hook. And that hook is that we're giving our energy up to feeling frustrated about not being able to do anything about it. But I tell you that that's not true. There is something you can do about these evil people that we see trying to take over their world. And that is exactly what Jesus said when he said, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. They don't know. They're just puppets. And there's a hand inside the glove of that puppet. And that hand is not the hand of God. And so
David, what is telling me to see? You just summed it up by being reactive or not being reactive, but
you've got it.
But
Hold on. How do I make?
Here's the real crux of it,
Michael.
For me,
listen,
and I'm
listen.
Standing up and
Michael,
walking around.
Don't overanalyze this.
How do I express my? And see, this is where I'm falling into the wrong trap. I'm trying to express my displeasure with this.
Yes.
And you're saying, do the exact opposite, and it will have more.
Well,
is this right? And it will have more power. But I see, I'm missing why it would have more power, because
okay.
I feel like I have to be reactive, and I'm really screwing it up.
Okay. So, you don't, let me put it to you this way. You will, okay, let's say you are one person that has a match in a cave. And so that match begins to bring light into that darkness. And then when you light your match, you find that there are other people that have matches and they light them too. And pretty soon, more matches are lit so that the whole cave is full of light. When you don't react to evil, it's like allowing the light to shine on it. The light that comes through us, that comes through our greater humanity, being better than what it is that we're looking at by not hating it. And believe it or not, collectively, if we don't hate those people that are tempting us and they're lying and trying to destroy our lives and ruin our world, if we don't hate them, we defeat them by not hating them. They're defeated. Jesus defeated death by not hating his tormentors. And through that Jesus Christ experience, every human being has the same ability not to hate the tormentor. You cannot hate your tormentor and ever be victorious. You can't resent them. You can't even react to them in the smallest way. And when you don't do those things the wrong way and you light that little match, that match, you know, the scripture says the light shines through the darkness and the darkness comprehends it not. The light begins to shine. And I think America's waking up. I think that my dad wants to warn people. He always has been the one. He's like a beacon, you know. Watch out for the rocks. The light keeps swirling.
He's vehement
around
about it.
But I think that America is going through a renaissance. I really do. I think people are waking up. And the warning I have to give everyone is don't hate your tormentor. Don't hate them. You know, in relationships, it's a man or a woman who's tormenting each other, or it's a child that's being difficult. And if you have resentment towards them, you're contributing to the problem. I'm not saying don't do anything.
So like when your father says, you know, let them say what they're going to say and just go, oh, yeah, well, that's the way your dad says it is so cute. Oh, yeah, well, that's nice. That's good. And just don't have an opinion kind of one way or the other. Just let it pass.
Well, it's more than that. Hold on. I got to take a quick break here again. Stay with me. This is a very interesting and important conversation for a lot of reasons. Because everybody. Hold on.
Hi, this is David Masters, and I want to talk to you about supporting the work of my dad, Roy Masters. I think of the word gratitude, and I wonder how many of you have that sense or that feeling. The word actually means the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, and to return kindness. When you support the Foundation of Human Understanding, you're showing your gratitude. You're showing that you've been helped, and you're showing that that has value. Not only that, but you're thinking about future generations that will need to hear this message many years into the future. Remember, your donations are tax deductible, and they go to supporting this work on the radio, in the prison ministry, and for the military. To donate online, go to www.fhu.com/donate. That's fhu.com/donate. Or through the mail to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Gratitude. It will make all the difference in your life.
Discover an easy and simple drug-free antidote to overcome alcoholism, drugs, smoking, and other various addictions with a simple app. Discover Cure Stress. With the Cure Stress app, you can begin to walk away from addiction in just 7 minutes. And this 7-minute technique is free on the Cure Stress app. Break the endless loop of negative thoughts. Improve how you interact with people at work or at home with the Cure Stress app. You can finally heal from past traumatic events or resolve relationship difficulties. It can even help you cope with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And it only takes 7 minutes, free, with the Cure Stress app. Change your life without effort and in the comfort and privacy of your home in just 7 minutes with the Cure Stress app. Free and available now on Apple App Store and Android Google Play. Finally, cure stress with the Cure Stress app.
Are you suffering with PTSD after being in the military? You should see what people are saying about Roy Masters online.
In my experience as a commander who mobilized and returned thousands of wartime veterans, I have seen soldiers make rapid improvement through the use of Be Still and Know. Major General George R. Harris.
Google Roy Masters PTSD. You'll see what I mean.
The Be Still and Know exercise works for me. It calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. I'm thankful to be a more resilient chaplain. Lieutenant Colonel Philip Pringle, Southern Baptist.
Go online and Google Roy Masters now. You'll be amazed at what you find.
I must say, on the basis of 20 years' experience, that the application of this exercise has made a significant contribution to the treatment of the great majority of those who have used it. Dr. George Hader, diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
You need to see what people have to say about Roy Masters online. On your computer, tablet, or even your smartphone. Go online and search for Roy Masters PTSD Military. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, welcome back. It's Advice Line. David Masters sitting in tonight while my dad just takes a rest. He's been having some challenges lately, but he's amazing. He always comes back stronger. And I'm on with Michael, and I know I have other callers, but this is an important call to me, Michael. And so you were going to ask me something, and I think I cut you off. So go ahead and just have at it.
Oh, gosh, David. I have a little bit of a TBI problem because of a head wound I got. And I'm fairly lucid, but for some reason I'm forgetting, and I apologize.
No, it's fine. We were talking about acceptance versus, love.
Oh, yes.
You have a question about that?
Well, I think you actually, quite frankly, you answered that question of acceptance versus love in a big way, to the point where you kind of rattled my cage a little bit, but which is good. Made me a little sick to my stomach, but it's good. But then I ask you how to be still and know, and I suppose you address that. You address that as best you could, but I still think, I guess because of, like your dad says, because the culture has bred so much of this reactive behavior into it, it's really an arduous experience to become not reactive. Am I making sense?
Of course you are, but I think that the only thing that I would say to you is that you have been programmed to expect a certain kind of reaction. And I think this is what's happening to everyone, is that people are acting out. Trying to think of a good example. I mean, there's a phenomenon called mass hysteria. Have you ever seen anything like that? When people just start, like in a movie theater, when people get, one person gets scared and everybody else starts screaming. Like, I remember
I saw it in Vietnam when people would, when they'd light up a village and everybody would run and scream, carrying their children.
Okay, right, exactly. But mass hysteria can also happen for a lot of different reasons. And what you have to realize is that just like right now, when we're watching what's going on in the news, and many people see that there are people getting away with literally with murder, just doing the wrongest of wrong things, and then just like pretending like there's nothing to it. So my point to you is that if you think, well, if I don't react and I don't feel something about it, that somehow there's something missing, but I'm saying no, that's not the case. If you see it, and you know that what you see is true, you don't need to have a feeling about that. You just need to know that what you're seeing is true. And especially, I'm saying to you, don't resent the evil that you see. Just know that it's evil. And I'm telling you that's the key.
That's the hardest part, David. That's the hardest part.
No, but Michael, what I'm saying to you is, remember the example of lighting your match in a cave?
Yes.
Okay, if everyone took on a Jesus attitude of not hating their tormentor, every human being would literally begin to express the light, the same light, a similar light that came from Jesus when he was alive on this earth. The people
so
that
I brought
him,
this up.
Go ahead.
It's interesting you brought that up. God, you're so intuitive or whatever. Your dad uses that word, and I'm beginning more to appreciate the term intuitive as opposed to knowledge and all this other book work. But I talked to a guy the other day, and I lost my train of thought again. Doggone it. I'm sure I think it was profound. It probably wasn't.
I will go on to make the point. Because when you don't do something in an emotional way, you know, my dad's explained it as when his mother died. He said he didn't feel any emotion.
Yeah, I've heard that, and that was shocking to me.
But see, when you get detached, when you become objective, it's almost like you're watching a television set. You're not in the scene anymore. You're not in the helter skelter of it. You're sort of just an observer. But believe me, that observation has power. It has power because it affects people. You don't even know that it's affecting people that you have nothing to do with. You not reacting is beginning to have an effect along with other people who are not reacting in the wrong way. And I'm telling you that the light begins to come through every single person who understands the concept of not hating the hateable. Because you have Jesus.
So, David, is this like walking the walk?
It's different because you're used to expecting something. You see, you're used to expecting feeling a certain way. So when you do something bad, you're used to expecting feeling bad about it. But there's a time when you come to understand that when you do something wrong, you can be sorry about it. You can have an entirely different way of dealing with it, which is not the way you expect to deal with it. So much of what we have become is based on our own expectations. I mean, let's say that going back to 40 years ago, that you said, "Dad, I'm not going to Vietnam. I can't do it." Maybe he would have said, "You know what? You're a damn coward, but you are my son. So get out there and work." You know what I'm saying? You don't know what his reaction would have been. You see, it may have changed everything.
Yeah, it may have. It may have changed my life forever.
So I'm talking.
You know what? When you mentioned Jesus, that reminds me. And that's what I was trying to think of. I brought this up to a veteran the other day. I said, because what you've been saying about Jesus and forgiving people and just moving on and acknowledging that and forgiving them. And he brought up to me, well, what about the time that Jesus went into the temple and flipped over all the tables? He wasn't too forgiving that day. He was acting crazy and vengeful. I didn't have a good response for that.
You know what, Michael? I hate to say this to everybody else who's on the line. I'm sorry, but I'm out of time. But I want to continue this conversation, Michael. And I bless you. Thank you for calling. Many things will occur to you now in the hours and days after this conversation. I know, and I can't wait to talk to you again. I have 1 minute left, and I'm going to just give a plug for the foundation. Everybody on the line, thank you for being there. I don't mean not to get to you. Okay, and this is my last minute, which I will tell you, please support the Foundation of Human Understanding, my dad's work for almost 55 years. Of helping people, not wanting really anything in return, almost embarrassed to ask people for help, to be honest with you. My dad is a unique soul, and you know, when people do things that are nice for him, it affects him at a very deep level. So please support the foundation, P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Or go to FHU.com. You can make a donation there. Go and download Be Still and Know. Go to antidoteforall.com and listen to the 7-minute meditation. Do something. Just send him an email to say, you know what? I love you. You've helped me. That's all you need to do. It'll make him feel much better. All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.